Hi. Welcome, everyone, to the regularly scheduled meeting of the school board for San Luis Coastal Unified School District. Today is Tuesday, May 7th. We met in closed session and discussed a conference with labor negotiators, a conference with legal counsel regarding pending litigation or existing litigation, as well as anticipated litigation. Do we have consensus on the order of business? Everyone good? Thank you. So our first thing to take care of is the approval of minutes of our meeting of April 16, 2019. Any comments, changes? If not?
So moved.
Thank you. And
I'll second.
So I have a motion by Mr. Unger, a second by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
I'm going to abstain as I could only participate in closed session.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Millar. So, Mrs. Campbell, do you have that? Okay. Thank you. All right. Next is our student representatives to the board, and we have a representative in training I see tonight.
Yes. Welcome. So, a lot has been going on, but first, we have a new executive council for next year, and this is Greg Tom, the president for next year. So,
thank
it's going to be
you.
Super
and
exciting.
Greg, would you tell me your last name? Would you state, what's your last name?
Tom, T-H-O-M.
Okay, great. Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, and our vice president is Bailey Frost. Nikki Lauritsen is our treasurer, and A.J. Smelser is our secretary. So it's a really good group of people, and I'm excited to see what they do next year. But other than that, we just had prom this Saturday, and it was super fun. Over 500 students attended, and it was a night in Venice, and just a good way to end our year. And along with that, it's also Bike Month, which means we're out there at the tennis courts every day, promoting and giving all those people at Bike to School raffle tickets, which they'll be entered in our weekly raffle every Friday, so they can win cool prizes. And there's a bike that will be won at the end of the month, so that's super cool.
Wow.
And this week is also Staff Appreciation Week, so we have little treats going into every staff's box every day, just to show them that we care, and we're ending the week off with a staff barbecue. So a lot's been going on, and we're just kind of taking it slow as AP tests come in, because gotta get those fives, right? But so we're just ready for the end of the year and ending it out with a bang. So thank you.
And will you be here at our next meeting?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Good. And Greg, will you be here as well?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you both for coming. And then Annalise?
Hi, I'm Annalise from Morro Bay High. I apologize profusely for my late arrival today, but I'd like to update you on what we are up to at Morro Bay High School. So this Friday is our last ASB Dance of the Year. It's going to be our annual Set Sail Dance. We call it the Set Sail Dance because it's sort of our tribute to the seniors as they set sail on their next voyage after high school. And then in the following weeks, we're also going to have a Senior Spirit Week to also celebrate everything that the seniors have put into the high school and where they're going to go next year. And we'll be ending that off with an ASB fundraiser, a drive-in movie night, to raise money for next year's events. And then on top of that, coming up on Thursday the 16th, we have our academic awards to honor students who have kept academic excellence throughout both semesters, or some students all 4 years of high school. And then the day after that, we have Platinum Pirates Awards, which is a little bit different because it honors student athletes who have shown that they have outstanding capabilities not only in the classroom but also out on the field or the courts. So that's a really fun night. And then, like she said, Morro Bay is also in the midst of our AP testing right now, so we're busy with that. And we're still working on our fundraiser for the nonprofit Gravity Water. I know San Luis High and Napomo High have already wrapped up theirs this year, but for those that don't know, Gravity Water is a nonprofit that raises funds to be allocated to build water filtration systems in schools in places like Nepal and Vietnam where clean water is not readily available. So we're really excited to be working with them. And we do have our ASB board members for next year. Our president next year will be Riley McConnell, and I'm looking forward to hopefully she can come with me next meeting as well so that you can all meet her. But thank you for everything, and I'm excited to end out this year.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for all your contributions to Annalise and Prachi, and Greg, we'll look forward to working with you next year. It's a really important part of our meetings. Your contributions mean a lot to us. So having said that, knowing that the year is drawing to a close and you have things to do and places to go, if you wish to move on, we understand. So thank you again for your participation. So next, we have Los Ranchos program highlights. Mr. Mayfield.
Good evening. We have two different schools that are going to present some highlights and then also some grants to announce this evening. And we're going to start, as you mentioned, with Los Ranchos Elementary, and I'll introduce Principal Marley Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayfield. Dr. Prater, President Sheffer, and Board of Trustees, my name is Marley Schmidt. I'm the principal of Los Ranchos Elementary. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I appreciate the invitation. Come on up, sixth graders. I was thinking about what to share about Los Ranchos, and I was thinking about, oh gosh, we could share about the voracious readers or the amazing math intervention and enrichment kids are doing. We could talk about robotics that our sixth graders are engaged in, or the engineering practices that our students are using in their FOSS units. But then I was in our sixth grade classes by Mr. Kirsten and Mrs. Madison, who are in the back row tonight. And they were, the students were learning about the human microbiome. And what really popped for me about this assignment was that students were so highly engaged. It was an assessment, and students were focused on showing their teachers their depth of understanding in a really creative way. So it is my pleasure to introduce, come on up here, we have Brooklyn Rutledge right here. We have Emerson Utman and Hunter Dorf, and they're going to be sharing about their project.
Our assignment was to take one topic from our microbiome unit and to create a stop animation slideshow about it. The topics were fecal transplants, the difference between good and bad bacteria, or antibiotics. It was a cool way for us to show what we learned in a science that was different than writing an essay or taking a test. We got to be really creative, and we became really familiar with the facts behind the science. It was cool because we weren't taking a test or just filling in answers. Our goal was just to share our thinking. We got to use technology to show our scientific selves.
Everyone was thinking about different themes for their slideshow. They all wanted to do characters from a show or a movie. For example, Brooklyn did Disney princesses, and Hunter did Minions. I decided to go with the broad category of dogs to tell the story of fecal transplants. I enjoyed adding humor. Fecal what? Starring Gary and Bruce by Emerson Utman. Gary, I'm going to the kitchen. Okay, bring me some scraps. I can't believe I'm wearing a bow, and I'm a boy. Ooh, cookie dough. Nom, nom, nom. Did you find anything? This bow is horrible. So, did you find anything? No. Grumble, grumble. We're home. I don't feel so good. Uh-oh. Something is wrong with Bruce. Let's take him to the doctor. What about me? Whimper. Don't leave me here. I figured it out. Bruce needs a fecal transplant. A fecal what? You see, he ate some cookie dough, which gave him salmonella, a harmful bacteria. Wait, fecal means poop. Yuck. Actually, a fecal transplant can be very helpful to your body. And yes, it does mean poop, but it is a way of transferring another person's good bacteria into another. I don't think so, lady. A fecal transplant starts when a good person's bacteria, or poop, is donated to us. We preserve the bacteria until someone needs a transplant. Bruce, you need to do this. I don't know. Honestly, it sounds gross. I'll tell you what. If you do the fecal transplant, I will tell you a secret for salmonella-free cookie dough. And now you're trying to bribe me? Although, that is tempting. Sure, it's a deal. A problem Bruce had. Salmonella is bad, and so is C. diff and C. jejuni. But there was one solution, a remedy, a conclusion, and it's called a fecal transplant. After Bruce's fecal transplant, wowzers, Doc, I feel so much better. Take that, salmonella. Salmonella isn't the only bacteria that has been taken down by a fecal transplant. Fecal transplants can also cure C. difficile and C. jejuni. You need to chill on the facts, girl. Now, what is the cookie dough's secret? But Bruce, you need to know this stuff. Do you have any questions? Let's see. Hey, since I had a bad bacteria in my gut, does that mean all bacteria are bad? Of course not. There are many good bacteria in our gut too, such as L. reuteri, that helps our body produce mucus, and B. fragilis, that helps keep our immune cells high. Cool. Is there any other facts you can share with me? There is another solution other than a fecal transplant. It's called antibiotics. Unfortunately, not only does it kill bad bacteria, it kills the good, too. That's why we recommend fecal transplants. Oh, that doesn't sound so great. But that is actually really cool. No kidding. And now, like I promised, I will tell you the secret to salmonella-free cookie dough. Oh, yeah. You bake the flour in the oven for 10 minutes because the salmonella is in the flour, not the eggs. Then it is salmonella-free. Goody! Well, now I have to go home and tell Gary all about fecal transplants. Bye! I ate some leftover cookie dough, and now I feel sick. You need a fecal transplant. A fecal what? The end.
We started off this project with a Google slideshow, but over time we were able to add in stop animation slideshow. It was a great way to show our creativity and use our personality to do a test and have fun. It was important to us because it was a great way to learn something new in science and technology. My class agreed with me because they agreed that instead of just writing an answer beneath the question, they were more open and motivated to take a test in a slideshow.
This project was a great way for us to use science and technology.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. Thank you. The clicker. That's right.
And now from Los Osos Middle School, we have teacher Lindley Sainsbury, and she's going to tell us about some awards her students won.
Great, thank you.
So 3 weeks ago, Mission College Prep had a speech tournament, the first of its kind for 6th through 8th grade. There was over 150 speeches given at this speech tournament, and we at Los Osos Middle School took 20 students and basically had a very successful day, and I have the three grand champions here with me today to present.
Hello, my name is Reese Demarest. So at the speech tournament, I won first place grand champion, and I had so much fun at the speech tournament. It was an absolutely amazing experience. I participated in three categories, dramatic interpretation, personal and original prose or poetry, and impromptu. And I won gold in impromptu and dramatic reading, and I won a silver in original prose and poetry. I really, really enjoyed the speech tournament because I felt like it was a great way to meet new people and get closer to the people at my school that I never really talked to. At the speech tournament, we were all sitting in one room with people that that go to my school but I'd really never talked to or been friends with, really. And we would be rehearsing our speeches with each other and practicing and saying, hey, can you listen to me and take some notes? And so we really got to know each other a lot better. And I thought that was really, really fun, and it was an absolutely amazing experience. And I thought that it was a really good opportunity to know more about how public speaking works and to really gain confidence in public speaking. And, of course, the awards are always fun, so that was a little extra motivation. And it was overall completely great experience, and I'm absolutely so glad that I was lucky enough to be able to go. And it was really fun to practice and perform for the people, my judges, and all that. And it was really fun and incredible. And I'm really happy that I got to know so many new people and get closer to the people that I already do know and really improve my public speaking. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
I won second overall, and I competed in dramatic interpretation, which I won bronze, and persuasive argument, which I won silver, and original prose or poetry, which I won gold. And the way it was all set up, there are four categories, those three, and then also impromptu, which Reese did. And they had a room moderator from the school that was like a student there, and they had like three or four judges that would take notes and fill out like a rubric for you, and they would also provide some feedback, so that was really helpful to us because we got that, so that sort of helps us see like how we did and what they think we could do better next time. And all three of us are in drama club, so that really helps us because we are already comfortable with being on the stage, but this will help us sort of present our lines better and things like that.
Hi, I'm Riley Blackham, and I got third overall in the Mission College Prep Speech Tournament. And I also agreed that it was a wonderful experience. The main message that they seemed to keep telling us, they had these little buttons that said glossophobia, and then like a stop sign. They had a cross through it, and what was funny about it was one kid thought it meant fear of lip gloss, but it's really fear of public speaking, which it was cool because, like, at the end they're like, you've all conquered your fear. And it, like, when I was younger, I wasn't that comfortable with speaking to adults. It's still a little harder, but it's become much easier because of drama club, all the wonderful people I've met. And the speech tournament, like I said earlier, just was a great experience for me and probably everyone else who participated in it. Yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that you heard their names. Reese Demarest, Ray Ruan, and Riley Blackham. They're eighth graders on their way to MBHS. So,
great.
Yep.
And thank you, Mrs. Sainsbury.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we have Karen Beatty from the California Retired Teachers Association, who's going to tell us a little bit about some mini-grants.
Good evening, San Luis Coastal Board members. Hi, Evelyn. Hi, Chris. My name is Karen Beatty, as was mentioned. I am a 12-year retiree from Lucia Marr School District. Hi, Ryan. Where do you... I am a board member of the California Retired Teachers Association. Our main mission in CalRTA is to protect teachers' pensions and the STRS retirement system. Another one of our missions is to support public education and public educators, and that's why I'm here tonight. I have money to give out.
Woohoo!
Every year we have a teacher mini grant program in which our members, all retired teachers and other retired educators, we donate money throughout the year to this program. And this year we are donating $800, $400 to each district, all money raised by retired teachers. The teachers do not have to do anything except fill out an application. They don't have to plan a big program. We were all teachers. We know teachers don't have time to do that, and we know that they need more money. That's a given. A total of 28 teachers from San Luis Coastal District applied for one of these grants, and we, the board of CalRTA, randomly chose four winners from San Luis Coastal District. And I would like those winners to come up here tonight, if you are here. Mama. Thank you. Monica Garcia is a teacher at Pacheco Elementary. Here you are. Are you Jessica? Jessica Keach is a teacher at Sinsheimer Elementary School. The other two winners apparently could not be here. Marilyn Requarth from Laguna Middle School and Jessica Yee from San Luis High School. So we are pleased to be able to do this in order to support public education. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Luana said she would be sure these two got to the others.
Great. Well, thank you. As always, we have a lot of wonderful teaching going on in our district, as demonstrated by the students and by our teachers. So thank you. All right. Next, we're moving on to item 6.01, which is correspondence. And at the time that the agenda was posted, we had received a letter from County Superintendent of Schools Jim Brescia with regard to the fiscal year 2018-19 second interim report on the budget, as well as emails from Jennifer Mitchell and Sandra Heimel regarding the potential dual immersion program at Baywood Elementary. At this time on the agenda, we open it up to public comment. Most of our public appears to have gone at this time. Is there anyone from the public here wishing to address the board? I will therefore dispense with all the rules and all that, since we don't have anyone here right now. So we'll move on to our superintendent's updates, and 7.01 is our business and budget update. Mr. Pinkerton.
Yeah, so just a couple of quick things. We, Dr. Prater and I got to meet with a couple of gentlemen from the community who were former police chiefs in our area and in county, and fire chiefs, I should say, not police chiefs, fire chiefs. And so we had a great conversation with Kim and myself and Dr. Prater just about safety and kind of this, you know, our goal after me attending kind of the big safety conference is to really to look at our plans and dig deep into safety, you know, and really broadly. So we had some great conversations. It was they had some great ideas to share with us, and so we look forward to hearing from them again, and hopefully be able to update the board, you know, when we have the board study session about kind of our plans and where we would like to go with that. I want to give a shout out to Rick and Kim and Diane and everyone right now working on the LCAP. So that big, huge, 100-and-some-page, 80-page document, it doesn't happen on its own, and so they have been spending countless hours putting it together, pulling it together, getting all the input from staff. I know Kim's going to update the board today, but just they've been spending a ton of time on it. And then that transitions to Julie Lang, of course, in the business office, and then making all those budgets and tying everything in so that we can get that to the board at our next meeting. And so it's nice to have those 3 weeks of being able to go over the LCAP, review it, and then actually have approval. And so, again, kudos to them for all the work that they're putting in to make that happen right now. And so those are my two key things for business.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next, we have our educational services update. Mrs. McGrath.
Yes, happy to just acknowledge that today is Teacher Appreciation Day, and I know that we can all look back and think of amazing educators that have impacted us. We've had the opportunity to honor two of our employees of the year so far this year. I won't spoil the others, but our administrator employee of the year is Ms. Diane Frost, sitting out there, does an amazing job. As well as a teacher of the year from happens to be from Bishop's Peak, Ms. Kimberly Kelly, who also does an incredible job. So both very well deserving, and happy to honor these two educators. Also, some great news this week that we had some additional CTE funds that we qualified for through a couple of different grant processes. So that's great to see. Our CTE programs will continue to receive some additional funding. And the school sites are also very soon going to receive a foundation grant application, kind of the first round of grant applications already coming out from the foundation. So they're moving quickly, and I think that that will be grant opportunities up to $10,000. So could make some real incredible impacts on our school sites, and just want to applaud a lot of people giving a lot of their time, energy, efforts to do great things for schools and students. So thanks for that, and I will talk to you about LCAP soon.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, and now a Measure D update.
So we do have a Measure D study session on Thursday. So coming up, we're going to review, again, kind of looking at our leased properties and cost, expenses, long-term, those types of things. We had some board members that were gone the last time we went over that. So, again, I think it's good just to review and make sure that we're all on page with that. Ty Green did put together a summary for the board about kind of the steps in working and what we can and can't do. And so we'll talk about that as well. And then we're going to review kind of a concept idea potentially with one of our sites as well. So that'll be Thursday morning. We also right now are kind of in the midst of really getting ramped up for the fall, actually, and some construction projects that are happening. So Mr. Bonin and myself, Steve Stewart, have been meeting with both sites, meeting with teachers, meeting with staff, already boxes going out, getting people prepared for moves. And so it's just one of those things. The storm is about to hit at both San Luis Obispo High School and Morro Bay High, where we've done little projects at times, but now we're in the major category of major things happening. So just a lot of little detail things you miss. And so it's been, you know, kind of just going over it over and over, going back, talk again, what are the best plans, what are the best things that we can do for kids, for teachers, you know, to make this as easy as possible as we go through. We're already seeing the rewards, of course. The board got to go to the grand opening at the J-Wing. Kudos to Kyle and Jeff Caldwaller for putting that together, and the band and all the parents who showed up. And it was great to hear people, right, to hear the kids, to hear the parents. Not just about the ones that are currently in the program, but those that are going to be, you know, going through, and just, you know, what they're going to get to have now because of Measure D, because of the public passing the school bond and kind of the future. So that was, again, kudos to the staff for putting together a great grand opening and for the board's support in being there.
Thank you. All right. We will move on to some resolutions. So first we have Resolution Item 8.01, which has to do with the San Luis High School Annex Building lease-leaseback termination of leases.
Yeah, so we finished all the work around the Annex Building now. It's no longer, after this project is done, going to be called the Annex Building anymore, because it's now the Math Hall the 900 building at San Luis Obispo High School, so it actually has a name now. We had always tied it to the old annex building and the cafeteria and those types of things, but it'll actually be the math hall, 900 wing. So there's two things on the board tonight. The first one, we have to ask the board to pass the resolution for us to get out of this lease, and then later you'll see the actual quit claim and board approval at the end of the agenda.
Right. Is there anyone from the public who would like to address this resolution? All right. Seeing no one, board questions, concerns, comments, or a motion?
So moved.
Second. Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Unger, a second by Mr. Millar. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, yeah, you're right. I was just thinking that, and then I just kept talking. Okay. Mrs. Campbell, please.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Mrs. Frame? Resolution passes 7-0.
Thank you. And next, we have a resolution with regard to the Week of the Teacher.
So this is, as Kimberly McGrath said earlier, the Week of the Teacher. And we are so excited to be honoring both our teachers and our classified employees. The Teacher Appreciation Week is this week. So I'm going to go ahead and read the resolution to you. Whereas it is appropriate that we recognize our teachers and express gratitude for the interest and concern they have for our students, and whereas our teachers frequently and often selflessly participate in non-classroom activities that enhance the education of our students, and whereas, along with academic instruction, teachers provide students with valuable guidance, support, and encouragement toward helping students become tomorrow's leaders, and whereas providing quality education to our young people continues to be our never-ending challenge, as it represents society's greatest and most lasting gift to new generations, and whereas the future of our state and country depend largely on the work of dedicated and professional teachers, and whereas school teachers are relied upon to ensure that our children receive proper instruction in a wide range of subjects, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District proclaim May 6th through the 10th, 2019, as Teacher Appreciation Week, and encourages all citizens to participate in observance to express their appreciation.
All right, and we certainly appreciate our teachers. So, with that, is there any discussion among the board? Then I would like a motion.
Ms. And it also Frame, needs to be a roll call vote.
Yeah, I understand. Mrs. Frame, perhaps you'd like to make a motion to adopt this. I'm turning to you as our most recent teacher on the board. Thank you. Do we have a second? Perhaps.
Second.
Okay. And we have a motion by Ms. Frame, a second by Mrs. Roger. Mrs. Campbell.
Mrs. Frame? Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers? Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Resolution passes 7-0.
Thank you. Thank you for stepping up, Mrs. Frame. All right. And item 8.03 is with regard to our classified.
Yes, and May 19th through the 25th is designated as a classified school employee week. So I'll go ahead and read that resolution, and you'll see that there are letters attached from both of the classified union presidents. Whereas classified school employees provide valuable services to the schools and students of the district, and whereas classified school employees contribute to the establishment and promotion of a positive instructional environment, and whereas classified school employees serve a vital role in providing for the welfare and safety of the district's students, and whereas classified employees employed by the district and represented by CSEA and SEIU and confidential employee units strive for excellence in all areas relative to the educational community,
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District hereby recognizes and wishes to honor the contributions of the classified school employees to quality education in the state of California and in the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, and declares the week of May 19th through 25th, 2019, as Classified School Employee Week.
All right. Thank you. And again, we appreciate our classified staff. Any discussion among the board? Okay, then I would seek a motion with regard to this resolution.
I'd like to make that motion if I can, as a former CSEA member and also an employee of CSEA and their headquarters. I'm proud to make this motion. So I move adoption of resolution 19-18-19, which I'm glad that's written down.
So second. Thank you. And a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Buckman, second by Mr. Millar. Mrs. Campbell.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mrs. Frame?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Resolution passes 7-0.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We will move on to our discussion action items. And first is 9.01, our LCAP overview, just a little paragraph of a document.
Right? Tiny little thing.
Yeah.
The big paper.
Thank you, Dr. Prater. So tonight I would like to go over the LCAP overview, and I have talking points here for you and a large colorful document to try to help you navigate this very large, complicated document. But I do want to say that as I am the presenter tonight, this is definitely a collaborative effort. So thanks to Mr. Pinkerton for bringing that up and for all the people that definitely contribute to this. So before I begin, I want to give a little bit of background and kind of set this up a little. So tonight I'm going to give you this broad overview of stakeholder input and of data and of actions related to our local control accountability plan known as the LCAP. But I want to tell you about a couple of things first. First, to think about kind of the structure of this document as a whole. So the state gives us two options. The district can have a very specific plan that only discusses actions that we're going to address those three student groups. Remember how we've talked about socioeconomically disadvantaged, EL, and foster homeless youth. So you can create an LCAP just very specific, only the LCAP supplemental ideas that address those three student groups. Or they encourage you to create a more comprehensive plan that says, where are we trying to go as a district? And within that plan, make sure to address those three student groups and label it as your LCAP supplemental funding going to those three groups. So we have selected this second option. This isn't kind of an overall more comprehensive plan. And within this comprehensive plan, there are areas that we very specifically have action steps that address those three student groups. Okay, so that's kind of the structure. Also, keep in mind that this is year three of a three-year plan. So you will not see huge changes to some of the broad areas, to focus areas, to goals, or some of those broad categories. However, you will see changes in the action steps and changes to smaller categories based on data and based on stakeholder feedback. Okay, so thinking about data, Luana, if you don't mind showing the link there. So thinking about data, what our data is currently showing us overall is that our student achievement is incredible. Okay, in many ways, we're doing great. All areas except for one are at the top two levels when it comes to our state dashboard that are green and blue. 96% of our students are graduating on time. Less than 3% of students have been suspended even one time. Our English and math achievement levels are way above the standard. We meet all five of the state standards. However, what our data is also showing us is that we need very intentional, thoughtful work when it comes to the discrepancy between socioeconomically disadvantaged students achieving and our non-socioeconomically disadvantaged students. And let me just spell out the piece to me that makes it very clear is that in English language arts, if you're not socioeconomically disadvantaged, 82% of our students are meeting or exceeding the standard for English language arts. However, 48% of our socioeconomically disadvantaged students are.
And when it comes to math, you see a similar gap where 75% of our non-socioeconomically disadvantaged students are meeting or exceeding the standard, however, only 41%. So that needs our attention and is one of the three student group areas that will be addressed within the LCAP supplemental funds. So stakeholder feedback. Some of the feedback received is very relevant and is reflected within the LCAP. So let me give you an example. For example, we hear from stakeholders that more focus is needed on equity, around professional development is needed for diversity and inclusivity, and those topics you will directly see reflected in the LCAP. Sometimes we receive feedback that is important to hear, it's important for us to understand and digest, but it's not necessarily reflected in the LCAP. So, for example, we continue to hear about a desire to maintain or even decrease class sizes. So we have taken those steps. Mr. Pinkerton looks at enrollment and has addressed those, especially at our Title I schools. However, that's not necessarily an LCAP expense. So although we hear that through our stakeholder feedback in this process, we address it in different ways. We also sometimes hear feedback that could be addressed at school sites that may not necessarily be addressed at a district-wide LCAP plan. So kind of keep that in mind as we walk through this. So what I'd like to do is now kind of walk through this overall overview document together, the colorful one. So let's start at the top. Kind of at the top, you will notice the five focus areas, and the goals there in the second row remain the same. And then we're going to start to look at each area. So let's follow me down the column on the focus area number one. What we're going to do is we're going to look at data related to each focus area. We're going to look at the stakeholder impact. And then I'm going to give you a few highlights of how that focus area has changed based on the data and the stakeholder feedback. Okay, so focus area one, you're looking at academic achievement. So if you look at our data, you can see, if you'll go back to, I think if you just stay on the data one, Ms. Campbell, that would be good. Yes, thanks. So overall, you can see English language arts and mathematics. You're looking at both of those that are in the green area. We're performing at very high levels. And if you click on one of those, you can see that it starts by saying that you're way above the standard, that we've maintained and that area is way above the standard. When I get to focus area two, I'm going to take you to some of these student groups that are mentioned here at the bottom in the equity report. But the first one is about overall achievement. Let me tell you about feedback. When our stakeholder feedback, some of the things that we heard were students said that they had a desire to be more engaged and more challenged with relevant assignments. These ideas were expressed from surveying the students through Student Senate, and this is an example of a goal that might be addressed at a school site. We also heard a desire for more science instruction. You'll notice in our LCAP we're continuing with our science teacher on special assignment, and we need to continue to work on how are we ensuring that is integrated throughout our instruction. We also heard a desire to look at curriculum to address phonics and conventions that may be kind of a weaker element within our elementary reading program. So that will be something that we would be addressing within our LCAP. Okay, focus area two. So focus area two shows academic support. So what does our data say? Although, like I mentioned, the overall data related to focus one shows really high achievement overall. When we take a deeper look at those student groups, we definitely need additional work and support. And so let's look at math for an example. So you can see within mathematics that we're in the green area there. And you can see that we're way above the standard and that we've been maintaining that as well. However, if you look at the bottom, see where it says equity report. And Ms. Campbell, if you wouldn't mind clicking where it says view more details. Just down a little, yep. Okay, and then scroll down just a little bit to show you those student groups. So you can see that fortunately we don't have any students in the red category. However, we do have some of our LCAP groups in the other categories in which we need to improve. Our English learners, foster youth, Hispanic homeless, and then socioeconomically disadvantaged and students with disabilities. So you can see that our data is showing, although overall we're doing excellent, these are the student groups that need additional focus. So when you look at data, that's what it's showing us. Now when you look at our stakeholder feedback, it noted a need to focus on English language development and specifically designated ELD. Remember, designated is kind of that protected time during the regular school day when a teacher would provide specific feedback to English language learners to develop their English proficiency. So this you will now see addressed in the LCAP. Also, our feedback noted a need for interventions for students that are struggling. And although we have some interventions, like leveled literacy, you'll, of course, know LLI, there's a need to look at a more elaborate, multi-tiered system of support for students that are struggling, and what can we do above and beyond for those students. So now I'll take you to Focus 3, Culture of Care. So in Focus 3, our stakeholder feedback noted that there was a real need for continued focus on understanding diversity, inclusivity, equity, culturally responsive teaching, and even including civil discourse. It was noted that there was strategies needed for class discussions, so you can see that we would be addressing this through implementing year two of our equity plan. In Focus 4, some of the input that we heard is that technology has kind of shifted in the feedback, and this was fascinating to me. We used to hear more feedback around we need to ensure that there was one-to-one, right? We need to strengthen our use of technology, and we need to make sure that every student has access, etc. The latest feedback has shifted a little, and Mr. Mayfield really noted this, that the feedback now shows that stakeholders are now saying, yes, they need access, but let's be really thoughtful and intentional about how it's being used. One of the ways I heard it quoted was, let's ensure quality just over quantity. So I think that was an insightful, thoughtful look. Remember how we talked about the SAMR model? Remember how we talked about kind of that low level of substitution as one way in which we start? And so remember the SAMR model we talked about, really looking at how can technology help you reimagine and can help open up things for students that may not have been previously possible. And that's what the feedback is showing, that it's not just flooding it, yes, needed, but let's be thoughtful about the quality and let's be thoughtful about how it's utilized and really helping students and teachers to reimagine the possibilities. Next, you will see in Focus 5 is our data culture. And we have little feedback about our use of data. And I think sometimes there's some surveys in which we don't always ask specifically about data, because we've always found that, especially from parents and outside stakeholders, they really don't have a way to kind of give input around that. From the teacher side, you do tend to get a little bit more from kind of the classroom perspective. But I think it's seen as kind of a task that's part of evaluating effectiveness and that kind of thing, but not something that all stakeholders are able to comment on. But some of the feedback that was received noticed that students talked more about wanting opportunities to relearn information and to retake tests. So that would be another great example of a site goal and something that the students are talking to the staff about addressing. Okay, so my goal tonight was kind of to give you kind of some broad perspective. What's our data showing us? What was the stakeholder feedback? And how are we working to address some of those things? So I would say in summary, in closing, to keep in mind that this is year three of a three-year plan. Our broad goals would remain the same, although our action steps would be adjusted. Adjustments are being made based on the data and based on the stakeholder input. Outside of the LCAP, we see some adjustments being made to class size, reducing that, and also site goals. Inside the LCAP, some of the kind of notable changes to keep in mind are English language development. You'll hear ELD, specifically designated ELD. Year two of our equity plan, exploring kind of this multi-tiered system of interventions and supports for students that are struggling. Intentional, like innovative implementation of technology in order to ensure quality, not just quantity. You'll also note an addition of Parent Square, as we're hearing about some needs for consistent communication. And of course, there are other small adjustments along the way. Tonight, I'm kind of giving some broad overview. It's also important to note that next year a lot of time will be spent on revamping and revising, right? Because it's kind of the time to start the new year, the first year of one. And something that we've noticed is that as we begin to restructure that, some things that we may need to do is kind of paring down and taking time to be a little more focused, depth in some things instead of kind of broad, you know, shallow with a lot of things instead of some more depth with maybe fewer items. So it's one of the areas where we've seen we may need to refocus. So that is the kind of broad overview of the LCAP. There's obviously still a lot of work being done to get down to all the specifics, but I'm happy to answer any questions tonight.
All right. Thank you for the presentation. I would note for the public that this is a document that is some 180 pages long that has to be gone over with a fine-tooth comb every year, and next year will be especially arduous because we will be putting together our next LCAP. Is that correct?
Correct.
The board spends a lot of time on it. It guides our instruction. It guides our all staff, teachers, administration. It's what we do to put together the education we deliver to our students. So it's a big deal. I'm just going to make a quick comment that Mrs. Roger and I were commenting that with regard to some of the remarks around technology is that perhaps because we now have achieved not 100% but close to it for the first time access to devices, that this is a natural progression that we then move on to quality, because we're very close to meeting the quantity, and where we haven't met quantity, we continue to make efforts to make sure that every student has the access that they mm-hmm. needed for their educational needs. So it seems kind of natural that we would then move on to these next steps. So Mr. Unger, Mr. Millar.
So Kim, because community outreach is so important, about how many responses did we get? How much feedback did we actually get this year from our LCAP queries?
Just for the LCAP survey itself, or do you mean the whole range of our
things that
efforts?
Well, the things that we would consider as providing important input into the LCAP development.
Right. So I wish I had that graphic in front of me. But throughout the year this year, I think I've given four updates on the different ways in which we've gathered input for the LCAP. And we have a whole variety of groups. So anything from the equity team to DLACs to ELACs to the LCAP advisory group to Common Ground to Student Senate to the presentations that Mr. Pinkerton and I go around to do to every single school site, to staff surveys, et cetera. I'm sure I'm forgetting some things on that graphic. But we make a concerted effort to gather a large variety of stakeholder feedback in a variety of formats in order to ensure that we've heard voices from all different groups and different stakeholders.
It was, I know we talked about the number of Breitbart surveys that we had, mm-hmm. and that's probably a one-off, so mm-hmm. maybe a little bit easier to quantify. And I think it was, around 2,000, a little more than 2,000 responses we got for those.
Yeah, that's a great point, and one I didn't mention.
So I would just be curious at about the number of responses, and I'm not asking for it right now, but I am curious about that. I'd also be curious whether we're seeing increases in the number of in our efforts, increases in the feedback we're getting based on the efforts that we're engaged in to broaden the feedback and the community engagement that we get. So I'd be curious to see if, I know we've been working really hard on that. Are we seeing more people mm-hmm. who are actually responding and giving us feedback? And then the other thing I'm kind of curious about, I'd be interested to know how successful we are at targeting other groups, such as, our target groups, for example. So are we getting more feedback from one particular group, from our non-SES families, for example, than we are from our, mm-hmm. our SED families? Are we getting feedback from our from our Latino families, for example? I know we don't have a lot of foster kids, But we do have a significant, I believe, number of homeless students. So are we starting to see those groups of people responding, or is it just one particular group of people who is responding and giving us feedback? So that would be something that I would love more information on. I don't know if the rest of the board feels that way either, but just...
Yeah, well, I just thought about when I'm giving the ongoing updates about that, I could even quantify some of those pieces as I go along, which is not something I had done in the feedback of saying not just how many, but maybe if there was a way to know which student groups they kind of represented each time, that would be a good addition to that.
And which or which schools, if they're particularly attached to schools, you know, when we get the parent feedback, that sort of thing, I think that would be kind of interesting information just to help make sure that we're on an upward trajectory for our community input. Thank you.
Great point.
Right, Mr. Buckman and Dr. Eisenbeth.
Oh, okay, thanks. Ellen, and it was a great summary of the LCAP and its role in the district, but one of the things that I also remember and I'm really impressed with in this district is the direct link between the LCAP and the budget development. And it really has, in some districts, the gap between the dollars and the classroom have been are not great, but in this district, it's been wonderful, but this has even made it stronger, and I really appreciate that. So the question I had is, we have now, we will soon have 3 years, so maybe next year, if it's okay with the rest of the board, I'd like to ask, if we, this wonderful document that we get, if we maybe can't put it out because the paper won't be big enough, but digitally can see this column was the first year, this column was the second year, so focus 1, 17, 18, and 19, because for me it would give some continuity and see, you know, we dropped off class size, we've added this. So I started to make one myself, gave up. But it just would be something that would be helpful to me. And the other thing is, as we've started to use the LCAP process, are we seeing a benefit? Is there something that we can directly say, this has helped the students? Some kind of direct benefit? Because I know we used to make... Anyway. But is there something that you can point to? Because I'm just interested now that we've sort of linked the LCFF and the LCAP.
It's a great point. Yeah, you'll see the outcomes on the back of the second page of those are the data points that we do measure.
Right.
And some of them have a really direct correlation. Some of them have a looser correlation. But I think that no doubt that these efforts are making a difference, but they need our continued focus for sure.
Okay. I was also interested, I found it interesting, I'm not sure there's a comment that you can make on this. We must be doing a really good job with our public relations and are getting the message out to parents about what's going on in the district. In the focus 2, one of the parent comments was Tier 2 Targeted Intervention System. And I know I'm a board member and I should know what that means, but I'd probably have to go look it up. And I was really impressed that parents came up with that specific comment. That was impressive. I appreciate it. Thanks all for all this work.
Dr. Eisenberg.
Thank you. What pulls focus for me on the dashboard on the screen up there is the chronic absenteeism, and that's the only area in which we seem to be struggling a bit. And I wonder if we have deeper information about whether it is more highly reflected in our at-risk population or if it's across the board. Do we know that?
Yeah, it's a great point, and Mr. Dalla will give updates to that. But yes, I think, do you mind clicking on that, Luana? I think we can see clearly, and I can quote it better. So you'll see here that 8% are chronically absent, which would mean 10% of their days or more. So 8% of those students. And then if you look at the view more details, and scroll down just a tad, you'll see the different groups there where we need more focus.
Yes, okay. So we know what groups they represent, and then the question is, how to reach mm-hmm. those individual students, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're working with on the site level.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because, you know, how can we expect them to improve their achievement if they're not at school, right? So that's the
exactly.
pretty fundamental.
Exactly. We need them present. And you'll remember Mrs. Gould's presentation with Mr. Dowler, where they were talking about their very concerted and intentional efforts that they made around kind of, you know, publicizing, communicating to families about the need for them, for students to be present, and that it made a difference. It was very clear that her, you know, her plan had really worked. So I think Mr. Deller's working with people to kind of, you know, look at how that can be replicated and can be utilized so that, that those efforts can be repeated and help throughout the sites.
Okay. It's a great start. Thank you.
Anything else? All right, so this was an overview this evening.
Correct.
We're not adopting the LCAP at
Correct.
This time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. 9.02, don't sit down. The freshly shorn, Mr. Bonin, was here to talk about organic herbicides testing and summary of results.
Good evening. So my presentation isn't going to be as entertaining as the one we saw earlier. I'll give it my shot.
That is going to be hard to beat. You know,
Yeah, that was tough. That makes me look bad. I almost wanted to pull it so I can come back next.
Yeah, it's just a given. So yeah. Don't worry about
All
it.
Right.
That bar will not be topped this evening. So
this presentation won't be a buzzkill.
Well, I don't think so. It's just not as entertaining. That other one was good.
It was good.
So, as you know, I was asked not to use any more Roundup back in November of last year, and we started testing some organic weed killers. So the objective of it was find an alternative to Roundup. Here's the three that we've been testing. The ingredients, it's all organic, all safe for children. We don't need to post for pesticides or anything like that. So what we did is we picked a spot out at Lums. Mm-hmm. And like they did, they marked off the three spots. And then we did it for 5 weeks straight. And as you can see, there's not much change. Now, in comparison to normally when we use Roundup, we only spray once and it's done. So they did it every week, and we still didn't get that great of turnout. As you can see here in the final results, a little bit of change. But then when you started adding some rain on top, it even grew even faster. So as you can see, if you walk down the road here tonight, you can see how high the weeds are. This is just out at Morro Bay. Out of Morro Bay, they've weed whacked three times already, and they're still not keeping up out there. It's a lot of weeds. We're in the process of testing one other product. It's just basically commercial vinegar, which is 30%, and we're going to give that a shot and see if that works. As you know, we're going to keep trying, but as you can see, that normally would be all wood chips and nice and clean. So the final result really is it's not effective spraying once, it's not effective for long-term use. So my only solution is keep looking, or we'll have to start adding staff because I don't have enough staff to do enough weed whacking. And that's all I got for you, short
all
and sweet.
Right. Anyone from the public wishing to address this? No. All right. Mr. Buckman?
I think Mr. Millar was first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mark.
Walter,
Chris, first of all, I'm looking at these test squares, and so rain had really affected these test results.
Well, we continued also. Mm-hmm. It rained, and it was growing, but we continued each week. So
okay.
The rain really came more in January than it did.
Does rain wash out these organic compounds more quickly than...
I don't know if it washes out or just makes it grow even faster.
I see.
It's a fertilizer. So,
and to what extent, if any, is this debate affecting the safety of playing fields?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Well, we've had previous issues related sometimes to adult soccer teams playing out of Laguna, and so is this debate affecting the safety of the fields that kids go out on at school
no,
and play
this
soccer?
No, this is all
like
the perimeters and courtyards, okay. the cracks in all the concrete and pavement that we normally would spray and you wouldn't see again. It's not the fields. The fields they're mowed on a regular basis, so it doesn't have time to grow.
Okay, good. That's good testing. I mean, I like it. But thanks.
Mr. Buckman?
Thanks. So as biodiversity becomes a term that's sort of now encompassing the stuff that we do, like driving my SUV, and it also encompasses climate change, the use of some of the herbicides in our locations are the drain. It literally drains right into the ocean or into the right into the water table. So my heart hope is that the American industry and American scientists are going to come up with something because we're the best. But until then, there's two sources I'm not sure I saw in your report. Have we consulted? I think there's a state ag advisor. The office is out near Old General Hospital across the street. And also SIPE. Did SIPE help at all? Did they have anything to add?
No, they just give us the organic. They gave us a list.
Okay.
And then I didn't advise the other.
The ag.
Yeah.
Well, I have the contact somewhere if you want to check into that. Sure. I know there's other organizations struggling.
I'm sure if somebody found some between our regular, I meet with all the directors every month or every other month. If somebody has something, we're going to share it. We would know pretty quickly.
So this was just a sort of a dream last night, was somehow FFA got together with your departments and we had goats. Never think. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, so I have a couple of quick questions. I'm sure you've checked to see what other districts are doing and how they're managing this.
We chat very often.
This is a big deal right now. Mm-hmm. So in terms of if we were to not use Roundup any longer, how much staff are we talking that we would need to... So we're talking about ground staff, maintenance staff.
It'd be a ground staff.
And how...
I haven't analyzed that yet. Okay. I'm still kind of waiting for direction on which direction you want me to go, and then I can go back and analyze that.
Okay.
You know, the other piece that comes with this is that when these weeds all get high and start to die, then the fire department will come knocking on my door to make sure we cut them down, as you know.
Sure.
'Cause I mow properties on the side, so... I know I get the letter saying you got to keep them 3 inches, and we're no different than anybody else.
Sure, I have to do that at my house.
Yeah.
So, is the biggest areas that are challenging to us are those that along the fence line, is my understanding, because wouldn't some of those other the main fields just be
the play spaces are mowed on a regular basis,
yeah, so, right. that's not a problem.
It's everything like around the fences, like if you drove down the side road, you see the hillsides,
yes,
playground, you know, not playground, well, playgrounds too, the weeds and the cracks, because when those get in there, they grow, it breaks up the asphalt, and then we have to redo asphalt. So the better we can keep the weeds out from growing, makes our asphalt last longer, our concrete last longer.
Okay.
Keeps the rodents out too, because then you get the field mice that come marching in.
So with the organic options that you tested, mm-hmm. they were applied according to package instructions,
yes.
at the rates that were and amounts that mm-hmm. that are. Okay. Yeah. This is a. It's a tough one. I'm sympathetic to the extent of the challenge, but also the challenges presented by Roundup. So, okay. Well, thank you for the presentation. Is there anything else, Mr. Millar?
So, in your judgment, are the negative impacts of Roundup offset by the efficacy of weed abatement, weed control, fire prevention, those types of things, or do you have an opinion about it one way or another?
You know, knowing that we're limited on staff.
Careful.
And what we have to do. So, you know, every little bit helps. And there's a lot of, if you stretch out all the perimeters, it's from here to Morro Bay that we have to maintain. That's just perimeters.
Yeah.
It's a lot of perimeter for, you know, seven people.
And may the record reflect that Mr. Pinkerton threatened Mr. Bonin.
No, I was trying to save Mr. Bonin. Thank
you, Chris.
I was his legal counsel at that point, Mr. Millar.
So at this time, we're other than the testing, we're going business as usual with continuing the use of Roundup.
No.
But we're not using it
at all.
Right.
Ever since November, you said not. I was instructed not to use it. We haven't used it.
So if I'd be interested if the rest of, and I don't know, this may be between you and Mr. Pinkerton, but to have an idea of additional staff and costs that might be involved in permanently discontinuing the use of Roundup.
There's a few extra things in terms of presentation wise that like Mr. Bonnet said, probably the difficult areas are like asphalt areas where you have little cracks and you have weeds that grow through them, and they're actually really difficult to even weed whip. Mm-hmm. Right, because they're there, or things like that. So again, I think part of what Mr. Bond is doing, he's looking at just landscaping in general. Are there things that we can do, rocks, different types of landscapes where we can so that weeds aren't an issue, right? We're always going to have the peripheral weeds, and we'll deal with those types of those situations. But in terms of just general landscaping, there are some things we can do to keep weeds down. So we'll work on that. And all this asphalt work that we've been doing and modernizations and things, that definitely helps, in terms of moving in that direction. We've had some turnover in our grounds department, so we have a couple of new groundsmen. One of the groundsmen became the new lead custodian at Slough High. We had another one that was on leave that's not coming back. And so there's been some transition, which is positive, and they're kind of getting on board. Also looking at just kind of the general layout of how staff interacts, and are there better ways that we can utilize our current people, in terms of giving them certain school sites or things like that, move people around. So we're looking at all of those things as we move forward. And I think now it's, again, we wanted to try this, give it kind of an earnest effort. We're going to be bringing in our tractors to do the big fields and things like that to, meet the June 1st deadline to make sure that all of our sites. So it's more of a aesthetic issue, to be quite honest with you, than it is a safety concern. It's just the aesthetics of a campus, right? You drive by and there's weeds, and of course we try to maintain our campuses. We want them to look great and look good, and so it's just more difficult to keep them up. And rain is fantastic, but rain brought weeds. I mean, it's one of those things that it's just one of those years where we had a lot of rain, and so with that comes the weeds. So we'll work on it. We'll deal with it. I think we'll come back to the board now that, kind of just give you that update, and we'll look at the schedule and kind of what it's going to take. And, as always, we try to do the most we can with as minimal, staff members as possible.
Yeah, it's kind of health and safety versus aesthetics and other issues. Mrs. Roger?
Thank you.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go.
I understand that you're not able to tell us at this time how many additional groundspeople you would need to adequately maintain the weed abatement. I'm wondering how long would it be possible to have that information available by the next board meeting?
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm very interested to hear it because we are all struggling with weeds at our homes, and I see our campuses are struggling as well. I agree it is aesthetics, but to my mind, it's aesthetics versus safety. And
you know, like Ryan said, I've experimented in a couple spots with different landscape that doesn't need to be maintained, mm-hmm. with rocks, mm-hmm. and succulents, so less growth around them. And we'll see. We're going to test some spots in Morro Bay and see if it works. You know, I don't want it to look out of place, but I want it to look natural. But if it's something less that we have to maintain, less weeds that will grow in it, that's my goal.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Buckland.
Thanks. So I think the staff question is going to be really interesting, and I fully support hearing that. I just want to reiterate how important this is, at least to me personally, that we don't have these chemicals on the campus, given the most recent stuff for health and also for what it's doing to the environment. But there are some other things that I've seen, and that's there's the propane burning the stuff off. I totally get it.
I'm not going to play a fire.
I'm thinking more in the cracks at the schools and, you know, where I've seen it. But the other thing is I'm really interested in the concept of the alternative landscaping, because what I'm experimenting with is putting down, I don't even know the terms, putting down the black cloth.
The weed cloth,
and then putting, I didn't think about rocks, but I'm going to put wood chips and succulents, you know, or whatever to make it look good. But, you know, maybe weed cloth is something. That's expensive, too.
The wood chips break down. And then
I promise I'll use rocks. But
so, I mean, a good example, if you drive through Cayucas on Studio Drive and you look at a lot of those houses that have a lot of succulents, which means minimal watering, if any,
right. And
then they have a lot of rocks, then it's less to maintain, no weeds, you know, it's natural. It's a good look.
Well, thank you for continuing to explore this.
You're welcome.
Ooh. Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot see these lights tonight. This is Frank. Oh, Frank.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much. I was just wondering if we could challenge our high school students at, you know, our J-Wing, our new J-Wing, to design some kind of robotic Roomba that would go outdoors.
You know, that's not, you're
cut
not far
those
off,
weeds.
Though. I've looked into them before.
Oh, okay.
And there's one that's available, but it's not sold in the United States yet. Uh-huh. But, you know, what we'll run into is a union issue.
Uh-huh.
We'll be taking jobs away from workers.
One problem, yeah.
That's right. All right.
Mr. Bottom and I are also opening a side business on the organic weed abatement, and so we're trying to. We hope to be billionaires, and we can find out. You know, listen. Whoever finds out this answer to this question is going to be a wealthy, wealthy individual.
Yeah. Okay.
Just kidding. We're not.
So have I seen everybody's light? Okay. Thank you. We'll look forward to the continuing study of this. So, 9.03, College Readiness Block Grant.
Oh, thank you, Luana. Thank you so much. I'm here to talk to you about the College and Readiness Block Grant. This is actually discussion tonight, and then I'm hoping for your approval at our next board meeting. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information, a little background about it, and then show you what our plan is for the expenditures of the funds that we received from the state. The College Readiness Block Grant is a 3-year block grant, and the way we received the money was looking at our pupil count in 2015-16, and we had to have at least one unduplicated pupil, which we do, and money was split up for two LEAs throughout the district. We received about $116,000. That money was to be spent in 16-17, 17-18, and then culminating this year, 18-19. Each district was required to create a plan to ensure funds will increase or improve services for unduplicated pupils to ensure college readiness with a focus on A through G requirements being met. The CDE also suggested that LEAs had it in their LCAP. And I just gave you a couple of examples from this last year where San Luis Coastal really does have a focus on college and career, college readiness, working with our disadvantaged students and making sure that they have the same advantages. So I feel really good about what we've had in the LCAP over the years. The CDE also asked that boards discuss the plan and then approve them. And as we were going through our last bits of how are we going to use this funding, are we really affecting our kids, we noticed that 3 years ago this did not go before the board. So I want to share the plan with you tonight and then get any feedback that you might have. So Luana, if you go to the next page, you'll see the priorities that we set for use of these funds. The first one says that the district will purchase an online platform allowing access to all secondary students. The platform will allow students to confirm their individual progress in meeting A through G requirements, apply to colleges, including Cal State and UC, and then also that FAFSA application. And this is where the bulk of our funds were spent. And I think where the bulk of the work was done. You remember a couple of months ago we brought a team of counselors to a board meeting and we talked about California Colleges or CCGI. This is exactly what CCGI does for our students. It shows them where they are in their A through G requirements. It shows them where they are in their target GPAs, how they qualify for the UCs and the Cal States. So that work that we've done over these last few years, actually starting with Naviance and then moving on to CCGI, I think has been really valuable in these efforts. The second focus we had was to provide professional development for counselors, for teachers, and for administrators. So we've done AVID training for both counselors and administrators. We've done college readiness A through G requirement training for our counselors, and we've sent them to conferences throughout the state. And then we also have provided conferences for AP course training. We actually have one of our new teachers going to a workshop this summer on AP courses, and we are asking him to focus on unduplicated students. How do we get those kids in our AP courses who do not traditionally take those courses? So that's number two. Number three, we have, and honestly, this has been a little bit more difficult than the other ones listed here. So it says secondary sites will provide materials that support college readiness, including materials that support high performance on assessments required for admittance. We keep in contact with our schools. I talk to our principals. I talk to our AVID teachers, and they're saying that they don't need the materials and supplies. The materials and supplies are available to them online, which I think is really fascinating. They're using these online opportunities for their kids in their classrooms, and they even say that the SAT and ACT test the fees are often waived if the kids are unduplicated, if they can prove needs. So that's been very positive, but an area that we really haven't spent a lot of money. And then the last piece that we decided would be valuable for our students is for those unduplicated students, specifically those enrolled in AVID courses at our secondary schools, we wanted to continue and increase their opportunities to visit these campuses, to go to the community colleges, to go to the four-year colleges, to you know, be toured by students who are already in place, to talk to them about how they got there, what does A through G mean, you know, what would this mean for me in my future. So that's the plan that we put in place to spend this $116,000 that we have. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions or comments from the board? Okay, so it's my... Yes. Mrs. Roger.
Hi. I'm just wondering, we're just finishing up the third year now, mm-hmm. So is this something that is sunsetting, or will we be reapplying for a continuation of this grant funding?
There is no application process, and I have not heard that the state will have more money in this area, so I think it's sunsetting. That's my plan, that we're on the last bit of the funding.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Just have a quick question. Yeah. So is it my understanding that the teachers who want to teach these AP courses can access some of this money for training?
You know, it's been on a case-by-case basis. We have one teacher who has accessed it. I've offered it to the other school. They just don't have the need for the training at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we just need teachers pulling a Mrs. Avery, where they just go into the hall
exactly.
and they just grab kids and say, you're in my class
exactly.
this year. Right.
And okay. Mrs. Delkus-Camp, who's in the classroom targeting the students and saying, let me help you get into that class.
Good.
That's exactly what we need. I agree.
Okay, so it's my understanding that you'll be bringing this back for approval at our next meeting.
Yes.
All right. Great.
All right,
thank you very much. All right. Next, we have item 9.04, approval of intent to apply for speech language pathology services waiver. Ms. Newman.
I asked Diane to stay up here, Mrs. Frost, with me because this is in her department. And so we have a need for 5 speech and language pathologists to replace employees that are either resigning or retiring this year. And so we have, at least at the point in time we wrote this, hired 3, but I'll let Diane update you about others. But we have one that is in her second year of a program, has worked with us, Molly Stoddard, who has worked in our schools during a practicum, and the staff felt excellent about her. But in order to hire her, we need to submit a waiver application for an SLP services. So I'll let Diane tell you a little bit more.
Absolutely. This is something I know well because we've been recruiting for months now. We have 4.6 openings in our district. We have filled 3.8 by hiring, and we have increased one of our SLPs to a just increased her FTE. So I have 0.6 remaining to hire. So I actually feel like we've done a really good job in recruiting and filling our positions. This particular person will do 4 days for us, and she is one of those candidates who has come back to a career. So she's got a little bit of experience. She is highly regarded. Did some of her intern work with us and is in another district that I think would have hired her in a heartbeat also, but she wanted to come to San Luis Coastal. So in terms of having a waiver SLP, somebody who's doing therapy, somebody who's doing assessment, this is a candidate that I'm really, really confident in.
Any questions from the board? Mr. Buckman.
Thanks. It was kind of interesting when this agenda mm-hmm. item showed up because the thought had occurred to me. As teacher shortages
yeah.
just increase, especially
yeah.
in the specialties, it seems more and more school districts are offering signing bonuses. And so
yeah.
I don't know if we considered that, and then I have a follow-up question.
Yes, we have negotiated with SLCTA in our recent negotiations, but we don't yet. They haven't gone out for a vote yet, but we have gotten tentative permission to be able to do that starting next year.
Good, because I had this great little argument that signing bonuses would be really kind of similar to the coaches' stipends, and if we're going to throw some money at sports, we could throw some money at speech and language.
Yeah.
But thanks, I'm glad you did that. That's
Absolutely.
Great.
Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. I was unclear when I read this item. Have we hired 3 speech pathologists, fully credentialed, and then the 4th individual is the
not
one that
quite
requires the waiver?
Exactly. Exactly. The other 3 are fully credentialed, 2 with good experience.
And so we our need remains for a 0.6.
Correct. Yes. And we're still looking for that.
And the likelihood of finding a person who's interested in a 0.6 position?
Surprisingly, I do have a number of speech and language pathologists who prefer less than a 1.0. I have many who are 0.8, 0.6 for, you know, a number of personal reasons. So I'm not as concerned that it's a 0.6 as I am concerned that the market is depleted. At this point, and probably within the next several weeks, I'll start going to agencies, and they are able to comb the country and get somebody to come over. I actually have 2 what we call travelers or agency people working for San Luis Coastal right now. So usually wait until a little bit later in the year.
So if we were unable to find such a person and we had to go for a full FTE,
mm-hmm.
how would that affect us, Mr. Pinkerton?
If we had to increase a 0.6 to a 1.0 just to get the candidate, I mean, it would...
Realistically, moving into
That's
an area...
That's not how it works. Yeah.
One is going to come into our area from out of the area for a 0.6 position.
Like Diane said, though, sometimes you'll get people, that's all they want. Mm-hmm. Young families, those types of things, actually prefer to be in that 0.6 situation. So so I think, you know, it's just like finding a teacher or anything else. We go through that
Mm-hmm. When we have to go process. To an agency, it's a lot more expensive. So like in a 1.0 FTE for agencies, what, $130,000 for us to get a 1.0 SLP. But that is what we would have to do, you know, is to get a 0.6 agency person or, you know, and it would be much more expensive.
We've shared in the past with other school districts. I mean, we'll do whatever it takes to try to make it work and find people. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's part-time needs at other districts that may, hey, you know, if we get together and do that, I know Diane's done that, so it's just a matter of putting it out.
So we have to have this person in place by the fall?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Mr. Unger.
And this person will be supervised.
Yes.
There'll be someone supervising them.
Yes.
Signing off on their assessments,
mm-hmm.
reviewing their IEPs and
yes.
things like that.
Okay, thank you. Part of this person's work is going to be in our preschool, and that's exactly where she did some of her internship. So one of those speech and language pathologists will be mentoring her.
Yeah. Mr. Millar.
So you're seeking authority to submit a waiver so that we can hire Molly Stoddard, who has not quite completed
Correct.
Her credentialing, and it's the judgment of our administration that she would do well and would provide those services. Okay.
Exactly.
No discussion. I'll move approval of the submission of a waiver regarding speech pathology services.
Okay, a motion by Mr. Millar, second by Mr. Buckman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Thank you very much. Next item is 9.05, proposed new board policy 6173.2, education of children of military families. This is a first reading.
Thank you. So tonight I bring forward this board policy about the education of children of military families. This has gone through our subcommittee, and Ellen and Mark have made suggestions here. Interesting, it's showing kind of in purple. It's almost like the colors. I just got the colors memorized.
Yeah.
So I believe that's supposed to be the red portion there. So you'll notice the addition of Mark and Ellen put in a valuable, trying to create a common pattern that there's kind of an entry, kind of an intro statement there at the beginning that recognizes kind of the board's values. And if you'll keep scrolling down, Luana. Thank you. You'll notice there that it was suggested that portions be removed, and especially some portions that need to be added as a suggestion to administrative regulations, as that's also a pattern we tend to notice that the suggestions also maybe get a little specific that may be better placed in ARs. If you would continue moving down. Thank you. The last portion was a suggestion from CSBA that this partial credits be removed for that portion as well. And then at the bottom, a large portion here was suggested by the subcommittee that be considered for ARs instead of the specificity in the BP. This is the first reading, and our typical pattern would be for this to come back for a second reading.
So I would ask if there are any board questions or comments at this time, Mr. Millar, then Dr. Eisengrath Rogers.
Well, first I want to, I think the changes are laudable because it makes the board policy less specific and grants the administration the discretionary decision-making they need. As a Navy junior who traveled all over the country, had to take sophomore English in my senior year, Morse High School in San Diego because I'd taken sophomore English my freshman year at a small school, but they wouldn't give me credit for it. So I went an extra semester, not to make this all about me, at my first public high school experience, and I took sophomore English. I'd gotten A's in sophomore English before, and arts and crafts, graphic arts, and there was one other shop class, because back east, and where I was, you didn't have shop requirements. So I got to go an extra semester. It wasn't really tough. I got a hall pass most of the time. But I do like these policies because the first paragraph, the complexity, and I appreciate the statement, but the complexities of being in the service and having children in the service and transferring into schools and things is unbelievably complex and far-reaching, and I think this is a good policy. And while I'm at it, if I may, I don't know how much this impacts the board policy. Having your parent deploy and return from service is a really affecting emotional thing for a child. And I have to say, both negatively at times, but also positively, you grow and you learn about a lot of things. So for me, these made-for-TV moments where parent member comes home and surprises a child, I hope that we don't ever allow ourselves to get involved in that. Those are private moments. They shouldn't be, oh, gee, isn't that great? And we need to really, and I think this policy helps us to understand the individual student and respond to their needs. So I just wanted to make that. But I think this is a very good start, and I'm glad the policy is transferring the responsibility to the administrators to figure out how best to serve these kids and their parents.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Eisenbeth Rogers.
I have nothing as profound as Mr. Millar just said, so I can't touch that with an edit, just a simple edit. There's a, on the first line of provide, should be provided, just that we catch that before it goes into the
thank
policy.
You.
Thank you. So this will come back for a second reading. Well, it will be on the action consent calendar if there are no additional comments or changes. All right. Next is item 9.06. It's 7, 8, and 9 all have to do with Measure D.
Yeah, so this is the actual approval of the termination of the lease for the annex building that we discussed with the resolution. This is one that I will say that we did have a conversation about the GMP at the time when it first came through, the annex. There were some leftover monies potential, and so we are going to – there is about $250,000 left in that GMP, which is about what we had expected. So kudos to Chris and Steve and Ron and everybody to go through that process of making sure, you know, each expenditure, you know, kind of met what it should, and we were able to walk away with some of those funds, which was a nice thing. I actually plan on not this study session, but the following study session, going over the entire Measure D budget with you again. We also saved some money at the J Wing as well, and so just kind of giving you those updates on the GMP, where we ended, the amount of you know, contingency that was spent, all those types of things, breaking that law. I think it'll be an important conversation to have as we look at some of the gigantic projects like the 100 building upcoming. So tonight, just asking for the board to approve the termination of the lease for the annex construction.
I'm just going to make a comment on the record that there is no one from the public here, so I will not continue going out to the public. Any discussion by the board? If not, Mr. Unger has a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Unger, second by Mr. Millar. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Keep us going, Mr. Pinkerton.
Yeah, so the next two items are basically as we're now moving into our design build work. So that was with PBK and Acme Construction. And so part of the process, kind of like we did with our lease-leaseback, what we found out through this process is that it's much cheaper for us to get builder's risk insurance through our insurance carrier than it is for them to receive that insurance through their carrier. So what we're asking the board to do with this is to modify the design-build contract. And in this, Luana, can you go back to the actual board agenda So I believe this is for Morro Bay High School. I just wanted to make sure I got the right. Mm-hmm. So this in particular is for the Morro Bay High School site that we will, the district will provide the builder's risk insurance instead of having that provided by Acme Insurance. So that's what we're asking the board to modify the agreement that basically puts that into being.
Thank you. Any discussion by the board? Mr. Millar.
I think you misspoke when you said that the insurance no longer would be provided by Acme Insurance. I think you meant Acme Construction.
Acme Construction, yes.
Because there is an Acme Insurance.
Yes, yes, yes. I meant Acme Construction.
So my question, it also applies to 9.08. So we're going to realize cost savings by carrying this insurance ourselves.
Absolutely.
How does that going to be that savings being going to be reflected in the existing contract or GMP?
So what you'll agreements? See, actually tonight we have the GMP for the 300 wing, and you'll see that line item has been deducted out of the GMP.
Okay.
So it's
perfect.
Taken out.
Thank you.
All right. Anything further? Then we need a motion to approve this.
I'll move the approval of the transferring of the risk insurance to the district pursuant for the Morro Bay High School building modification.
And I'll second.
A motion by Mr. Millar, second by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimously. So 9.08 is same thing.
Same thing, but for San Luis Obispo High School, again, kudos to Kelly Lee, who kind of really went after this, talked to our insurance companies, was able to find this fact, and has been following up on it with each project. So it's been a nice thing, saving thousands of dollars long-term for us.
And I would request that you pass along the board's appreciation.
We do. Thank you.
Kelly Lee.
Mr. Bonin always makes sure that she knows.
Yes, good.
Yes.
Oh, you did? Oh, good, good. You may text her again. Tell her we're both. Okay. Any discussion?
I'll move approval.
We have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, a second by Mrs. Frame. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. 9.09.
So this is the 300 wing, San Luis Obispo High School. This is our industrial tech, engineering classes. It's our wood shop. It's going to be a computer lab. Not only one for the engineering classes, but also a computer lab that will be utilized mostly by, I would assume, the agricultural teachers there. And it's also the ag classrooms, shop room. So all three of those buildings are part of this GMP. And so, Luan, if you can go down. So this is one that, again, this is a design-build project. And so even though it's not skilled and trained requirements based on it, we still had a lot of the same contractors apply for this job. And so from Weiss on Construction, and you can go all the way down to the GMP part if you can. So a lot of the same groups were the same, kind of people that worked with our lease-back. They're just able to, again, and we did have more coverage with this. So more contractors that actually came to our job walks, bid the job, went through the process, which was nice. Where we've been seeing projects come in with our lease back $1 million, $2 million over kind of what we had anticipated, this came in right at bid. Right what we had estimated back, I think a year and a half ago with Acme, this came in right where we thought it would, which is good in terms of from a budgetary standpoint, especially as we enter into the 100 building and what's going to happen there. We go line by line item, just so that the board knows, with the contractor, with Acme Construction, Ron, myself, the project manager, Chris, each one, why, how, who bid on it, what happened. So Ron's there to, to look at all the bids as they come in, those types of things. So it's definitely something that's vetted out, throughout. There are two big things that came out of this GMP conversation when we had them. One was the roofing at the site, and so that was a really large number that we didn't, kind of weird, it's shingle roof, what's happening. And so we actually just met with Quaglino Roofing today to go over that spec, to talk to them. And so there's going to be kind of the beautiful thing of the design build is they can redesign So we can look at those things and make adjustments as we go, right? And so with PBK as well as Acme Construction, we're doing that. So definitely realize some cost savings with that. So a couple $100,000, as a matter of fact, in terms of looking at the roofing plans. And then the other one is kind of a key thing, and that's our MEP with Toma Electric on this electric site. So you'll see that number is huge, both site and then the buildings as well. And so that was something that Acme kind of talked to us about. We all sat down together again, sat down with Toma, and went through every single room, went through, you know, basically what needs were. We learned a lot at the J-Wing, is what I would tell you. So a lot in terms of placement of camera and outlets and, you know, wireless access points, all those what's needed. We had a lot of overkill in the 300 design. So we had way too much. And so by sitting down, by going through it again, I think we're going to cut probably about $500,000 out of that number. So which is nice. And a good part for with Toma Electric is that there it's a design build. So they have a set profit margin. And so we get to see kind of their labor and equipment and supplies and budget. So it's not just like a, well, I'm going to throw a number at this. Like what we get, they're going to have to substantiate with paperwork, with their receipts, with their labor records. So it being such a big number, that was one that I was, you know, it's good to have kind of that control over it to make sure that we're getting what the bid is. And so that was a really successful meeting, again, that we went through. Everyone felt happy about kind of what we are going to have in the building still. Again, state-of-the-art, top, you know, great facilities for staff, and we'll have everything that they need to run all the new equipment and that's going to be put in. This project also very fortunate in that we did receive a couple of CTE grants. So I'm currently working with Kelly Lee to kind of see, now when are we actually going to get the funding for those? And so that's something I'll share with the board as we move forward. But I think we have about $6.2 million now in CTE grants that the district's been awarded, which, again, is just supplementing our Measure D funds. And so this two of the projects here were part of those CTE grant awards. And so that's just a positive thing, again, which goes directly towards that bottom line number that, you know, we're asking the board to support today.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. That's just so exciting to get the CTE grant funding. It's really helpful for us. I noticed in this, and I noticed when I read it at home, that we've got a job schedule that calls for 578 days to completion. My first question is, are those working days or calendar days?
So this is going to be, again, just so background to this is going to be a three-phase project. So they're starting in the wood shop and the room that was destroyed by the fire. So that's the middle building basically is going to start first. They're going to start that, you know, right basically after the board approves this. They're going to start it next month going through that. Then they're going to shift over to the agriculture classrooms, and then finally Mr. Fay's room, in particular because we want to try to do as much work during the summertime in Mr. Fay's room because it's so reliant on his welding and machinery and those types of things. So it's kind of, that's all planned out. Now, again, the number of days, I would believe, but they're calendar days.
They're calendar days. So, and this is just sort of because we don't have any if this isn't met, we don't have any penalty for loss of days because we have no bonus for early completion. So this 578 is just information only, really, but it's not a figure that anyone's held to in any way. Liquidated damages, but can we do that if we don't have a commensurate early completion bonus?
Early completion bonuses are illegal in education. They're a gift of public funds.
I believe you've told me that before, Mr. Holcomb. Okay.
But the contractor's in as much a hurry to finish the job as we are if we have to finish it. There's that in economics is a term, cost of opportunity. So if you waste 6 months, that's another job you can't take.
So we're looking, best case scenario, we're looking at 18 months for completion of the entire CTE area.
Yes.
Okay. And then I had...
They're going to be doing most of the site work this summer, which is goes all the way down the hill, past the auto shop. So, again, all sewer, electric, you know, all the utilities. So kind of finishing the loop. So this is the last section of our site utilities that will get completed. That'll go all the way down to the new student support center.
Okay, then my last question is, I know there had been some concern about the layout of those facilities and the bathrooms that would be provided. Mm-hmm. Could you explain, please, what was ultimately decided on that?
We stayed with this with our same, you know, plan, basically. So currently the teachers there have their own restroom, which is a nice luxury to have. It's a great thing. Now, these are old, really old restrooms that needed to be completely remodeled, redone, fixed.
They're gas station bathrooms.
Yes, if that. Okay. And so because we're putting new restrooms in, so again, and we're also going to be getting rid of the modular restroom that's over in that area currently that the students are supposed to use, which is, let's just say we don't want anyone to have to use that restroom anymore. So that'll be leaving this summer. We're actually going to bring in a portable restroom in the time being until the new restrooms are completed. So there's going to be new student restrooms on both sides. There's going to be a couple of single-stall restrooms, so one that can be gender neutral, another one that can be staff. And, you know, these restrooms, it's the central location, the middle building, so easy access both sides. Now, we did include one single-stall restroom in the agriculture classrooms, as they have a lot of night activities, a lot of things going on with FFA. And so we did leave one in the agriculture classroom. So that was...
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
Anything further? Then I would appreciate a motion on 9.09. Anyone?
I'll move approval of item 9.09.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Unger, a second by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to now go through the action consent calendar portion of our program. Please let me know if you'd like anything pulled. 10.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 10.02, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 10.03, approval of purchase orders and Cal card purchases. 10.04, approval of warrants and payroll. 10.05, Measure D, approved notice of completions, 1. 10.06, proposed revisions to Board Policy 0460, Local Control and Accountability Plan. 10.07, proposed revisions to Board Policy 4117.3, Personnel Reduction.
I'll move approval of items 10.01 through 10.07.
I'll second. We have a motion by Mr. Millar, a second by the Chair. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Anything for the advanced agenda? Reports by board members. Mr. Millar.
Thank you. I was able to be at the Morro Bay ribbon cutting. Very exciting. Great to see these projects actually come to fruition. I also tried to attend the Hawthorne Art After Dark, but I didn't read it thoroughly enough, apparently, because I went to Hawthorne. And I believe it was being hosted by a local business that had a Hawthorne parent there. There was a very exciting girls' basketball game underway.
Oh.
But that, and I just wanted to request a point of personal privilege on Teacher Appreciation Day. Mrs. Christine Millar Zuniga is Teacher of the Year at Dingman Elementary in San Diego Unified.
Hey.
So,
congratulations.
Thank you. Very proud of her, as always. Thank you all.
Please extend our congratulations. Yes. All right, Mr. Buckman, then Mr. Unger.
Mr. Unger, first. Chris, go ahead.
You can go ahead, Mark.
Okay, fine. I too was able, along with other board members, to attend Morrowbie High School. In the most recent publication to the community, there's some nice pictures, and I was a little embarrassed. So when you look at the picture of everybody listening to the speaker, I'm looking up this way. And so I'm just going to take this opportunity to explain why. We have a lot of seagulls. To get rid of the sea, to control the seagulls, we have a falcon, and we have a falconer. And at some point during this, I noticed that he had come to the edge of the building with his falcon. I was like, that's pretty cool. And then the falcon he had sitting on his head. It's Jesse Walter saw it too. So that's why I'm not paying attention to the speaker. I think it was a really fair distraction, and I just have to admit that. The other thing I'd like to say, excuse me? Thank you, but yeah, I'm the one. So, and then the second thing is, I just wanted to say that I have this tremendous opportunity. I know Chris works on behalf of school organizations, advocating and governing across the state and across the nation. I'm going to have an opportunity. I've been invited to speak on a state panel on my role as a school board member, but not a San Luis Coastal school board member, on LGBTQ students and their situations in schools. So I'm very proud of that, and it should be a good discussion. I'll also be headed to Sacramento again as a school board member, but not as a San Luis Coastal school board member, to represent this area, advocating for students at the legislature, at the governor's office, at CDE, and before with the Senate Education Committee. So my weekend is full, and part of the next week is full.
Thank you, Mr. Unger, then Mrs. Roger.
So I got to do a pretty cool thing. So I believe it was the San Luis Obispo Rotary Club, was it not, Dr. Prater, who sponsored Slow Reads? And I was fortunate enough to be able to read a book in Mrs. Potter's class at Del Mar Elementary School in her fifth grade class. And the focus was on equity and really helping the students think about that through their reading. First of all, I want to acknowledge Michelle Hopper, our district librarian, who worked closely with our district to set that stuff up. She continues to do a phenomenal job as she's taken that on. So I got to read a book called "Counting on Catherine" to the fifth graders. "Counting on Catherine" was about Catherine Johnson, one of the figures from Hidden Figures, as a matter of fact. And we had a really robust discussion about women in science and people of color in science, as a matter of fact. We also got to talk about the space race in general and what it was like in the 60s and what precipitated the space race, some things that I think the students, you know, our generation as elders were very important to us, something that, this, you know, is 50 years ago for the students. I mention all this because one of the other cool things that we got to do was look at some videos from really basically the Apollo 13, you know, the flight that almost didn't make it back, which Katherine Johnson, by the way, helped figure out the flight path on it, barely with computers, because they really weren't computers in those days. But in looking at the videos from the mission control, and then also looking at the trailer for Apollo 13, one thing that you immediately recognize after you see these things, that there are no people of color and there are no women represented, period. Even though we know that they were there and they were working behind the scenes, hidden figures. And it was interesting to talk to the students about that, because we saw the trailer also for Hidden Figures. And for the students then to start realizing this and having those discussions about the place of women and others in science and in our space program that weren't represented in those days. So I wanted to just thank the Rotary Club of San Luis and to thank Michelle Hopper for giving me this opportunity, and to thank Sandy Potter's class.
Thank you. Mrs. Roger.
Okay, thank you. Since we last met, I took advantage of the opportunity to attend the community meetings where the possibility of a dual language immersion school at Baywood Elementary was discussed and input was taken. There was a meeting at Baywood School one evening, a meeting at Del Mar School the following evening, and then I also attended the DLAC meeting on the third evening that night. I also attended the J-Wing opening, and because Mrs. Sheffer was out of state, I had the pleasure of using the giant shears to cut the ribbon, and that's just a fabulous facility, and I would encourage anyone in the public who has any interest to just go over and schedule an opportunity to view the facility, because it's really collegiate. I attended the Cinco de Mayo celebration at Morro Bay High School on the 3rd, and also I participated in SEIU negotiations, which resulted in a tentative agreement, so we will see what the outcome of their vote is on that. And then tomorrow I'll be attending the culminating meeting of this year's district equity team. They've done some great work this year, and I believe that tomorrow we'll be formulating a plan and discussing what the team will be doing next year and reviewing membership. So I, that's my report. Thank you.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
Thank you. I had a couple of meetings with the foundation board in the last few weeks, the whole board, and then also our subcommittee. And I just have to thank the members of the community who are so talented and bringing their most brilliant ideas forward, and it's exciting. And I look forward to filling you in on more details on that later. Also went to the Morro Bay High School J-Wing opening, and it's just so... It strikes me how appropriate it is that we would be opening these opportunities for students to do such creative things in such a creative location, and so much talent there. And so that's terrific and really fun to be able to watch that. And I, too, was at the Baywood teachers meeting and to learn more about the possibilities of coastal bilingual education programs. An equity walk with Mr. Black at C.L. Smith was fantastic. And he tells me that Damon Garcia Band is going to be playing for their fundraiser, so I know we'll all be there for that. Wouldn't want to miss that one. And I, too, showed up at Hawthorne after dark. No, and luckily, I ran into Jim as he was leaving. I'm like, are you leaving? And he was like, no, it's downtown at Tiger Lily. So it was actually part of the grown-up. So we thought it was like a PTA thing, and I thought, how clever that they're doing an Art After Dark. Yeah, so. But it was actually an Art After Dark, and we were not so clever. yes. that's got to be it.
All right. I also attended a couple of the dual immersion meetings out in Los Osos. I was absent for Morro Bay's opening. I will say that my daughter, a proud graduate of San Luis Obispo High School, I was at the University of Montana attending her defense of her thesis and her graduation from her master's program. Her thesis was on finding ethical considerations in wildlife conservation. So,
she's also a superstar, too.
She was a C.L. Smith superstar, together with Mr. Millar's children, his younger son in particular. So I also wanted to briefly just get a show of hands, if I could, about we have a Measure D study session on Thursday. I know of two people who will be absent. I just want to make sure we're going to have a quorum. So... yes. Okay. Perfect. Just confirming. You will be there? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Just confirming that. So we will see everyone at 10 o'clock Thursday morning, B3.
Roger.
Perfect.
9 o'clock, right?
10 o'clock.
Oh, it said 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. What time are we meeting?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Oh, 10
yeah.
O'clock.
Perfect. Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.